Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your co-host, Carl. The Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not-so-favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
Yes, and today we are discussing Vice. And this is a Bruce Willis film that you may have seen me tweet about, Carl tweet about, and him tell me that we must see Vice. See, every so often, every year or so, there's a Bruce Willis film, and he's in sci-fi. What was some of the good ones? Can you IMDb that right quick?
Well, Surrogates is the one that immediately jumps out.
Right, that's the one I was looking
and
for.
And it's an underground hit, you know, you know how we felt about Surrogates, and right. You know the press that it got. So, you know, whenever I see Bruce Willis doing sci-fi, I always give him a little extra moment. I say, okay, let's see what's going on. I couldn't believe that Surrogates didn't get a better reception. So, Bruce Willis, androids, set in the future, he's back again.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Whatever could go wrong.
We're not going to lie to you, people. This is going to hurt.
Oh, Carl, oh, God. Okay, let's start. Okay. Wow. So, you know, we were confused because this is another one where we start off, we're confused because we heard about this thing, but did it ever come out in the theaters?
I have no idea. I didn't see it in the theater. So, we assume straight to video. Is that what happened?
Question mark. I don't know. I don't know, Carl. All I know is that I didn't see it, but tonight we saw it together, and I gotta tell you, it had to be the most painful film since, I think, Lockout and Branded.
Yep, yeah. It's on par with those giants of filmmaking.
I think I was in tears, broke out in tears at least three times. I literally begged Carl to kill me at least twice.
I considered it once, really.
To put me out of my misery. I really questioned our friendship. Like, does he hate me? Is he trolling me? Like, I don't really understand what's happening. Like, why would he do this to me?
I don't know why you take it personal.
I was in pain.
You have to understand. See, part of the mission of the Sci-Fi Party Line is to see stuff so the fans don't have to see it. You know, we comment about good things, we comment about bad things, but mostly, we want to try to help you guys out. It's a service. It's a public service. And sometimes we take one for the team.
Yeah, man. This is team taken.
This one was a little rough.
Okay, so can we do a small recap if we can here?
Yeah.
So you're playing the film because what are you playing right now?
You know,
This is the film.
This is the film. This is the film.
So,
but hang on. I just want to point out, there are about 9 production companies involved with producing this motion picture. And when you sit down to watch it, the intros for the various production companies pop up. When Kat was watching this with me, one of the intros to the production company pops up. She goes, oh, well, this looks like it could be good. Let me be clear, people. The intro to the production company was more interesting than the actual motion picture. Let's just start with that, okay? So, yeah.
Did we ever figure out why the bank robbery happened in the beginning of the film?
Sure. Because you see, we are introduced to the world of Vice. This is the artificial world where you pay to go in. And then you can commit crimes, you can be as exciting or as dangerous as you want. So what's happening here is the people who have gone into the world of Vice wanted to be bank robbers. And this is them enacting their fantasy. See, we're watching it. That's what's going on in this scene.
Wait, so this is not them misbehaving in real life, thus the catalyst for our grumpy cop hero throughout the film?
Well, I don't think so, because you see how they pause the action and Bruce Willis steps in front like it's a commercial. And so, he goes, "Hi, I know this looks like a horrible crime that you're watching, but you can pay and participate in this yourself."
So how is this different from Total Recall?
Or Westworld? Or, I mean, you know, this, you could just go through the history of science fiction. Every element that is in this motion picture, we have seen at least twice before in something else. At least.
Can you tell them your theory on the credits to this film?
Geez.
The intro, because you know this is very old school film, and they had very unique.
Unique, you're going to say. You're going to go with that.
Yeah, that's.
So, okay, see, look, as seasoned viewers of science fiction of varying budgets, we are well aware of certain shortcuts or tricks that filmmakers use when either they don't have the best story or they don't have a lot of money. One of the things that they do is they do a ton of voiceover exposition, or they cram a whole bunch of stuff in the credits that tells you the background of the movie that you're supposed to be seeing, right? So they don't tell you the history of the world that you're in the movie. They try to jam it all under the credits. So, you know, we are being explained, and typically through news flashbacks, newspaper stills. It's just this rampant, cliched kind of way to tell everybody what the story is about without actually investing in the story that could have told us this or the budget necessary to tell us this. So right away, after we had Bruce Willis step in front of the commercial to begin his expo, which is, by the way, very similar to the disappointing use of Samuel L. Jackson in RoboCop. And you know, see, whenever you see the star of the show, or the, quote, supposed star of the show, just step out in front and give exposition within the first 3-4 minutes of the program, you know you're in for a treat. You know you're... And so when you see the poster, of course, we're thinking, this is a Bruce Willis film.
I think, so Bruce Willis, he tried, and he wanted to do more, and we had Thomas Jane, who is like in this one. You know what this felt like? This felt like Aaron Eckhart refused to do this film, so they got.
You just say that because he's got that 72-hour shadow in the cleft.
Looks like they approached Aaron Eckhart, and we're gonna release this in February, and then like. He refused because of I, Frankenstein. He said he wasn't going to do a turd anymore. Wisely so. And then, so we got Thomas Jane, with the hair. He has a terrible weave. And then Bruce Willis, who did he phone it? And was that phoning
in? You forgot. It's Thomas Jane with the hair of Viggo Mortensen. So you put those two together, and it is literally a Frankenstein of bad boys here. So we'll get to.
He was super obnoxious, refused to smoke, and I thought, oh, okay, maybe because they don't want to show anyone smoking cigarettes in the film. No, they had someone smoking cigarettes in the film. He just wanted to chew on a goddamn match for the whole goddamn.
Well, don't you understand? When a man chews on a match, that means he's bad. He's a bad man.
But you know
man.
What? That bothered me just, about it because there was no dangerous. Payoff with the match, and that he didn't end up using it in any of any fashion.
Come on, it didn't come into play. If, like at the climactic moment of the film, he pulls the match out of his mouth
and
strikes it on the wall and throws it down on the TNT, that would have been cliched, and you don't want to see cliches in a movie like this. Come on!
Okay. So, wow. This reminded me of grumpy Beverly Hills Cop, Axel Foley, going someplace where he puts it.
Axel is funny and cool. You're thinking more Lethal Weapon kind of, that sort of haggard kind of, I'm getting too old for this shit. That kind of thing. Because, this guy, okay, all right. Who is the hero in this film? Just quick question there.
Channing Tatum.
You know, probably was. Unfortunately, he was not in this motion picture. It probably would have helped if at any point he had wandered out onto the film shot.
Oh, dear
and
God,
that.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though. Who are we supposed to be rooting for in this film?
Humanity?
Oh, God, that's bad. Because apparently humanity wasn't in this film. Were we supposed to be rooting for the cyborg girl?
Okay, so do we need to do them a recap?
Let's do a recap.
Spoilers ahoy.
Yeah, spoilers. This whole film is a spoiler. So, hey. I don't think it really matters.
Because this is distracting us. Turn it off. Because I think we're kind of distracted because you have the film playing. We need to talk to each other.
Okay, well, I was saying hey about us.
No. We need to. Okay, let's just. I don't want to see her either. Just minimize that for me, Carl. Just minimize for me. Because it's just really. Okay. So this film, what it was about was. Okay, you said it. It was a section of the city that had androids, gynoids, whatever, and people can go in, they can do it. Apparently, in this world, men really like to beat up on women. That was a really big thing here. Where, like, do you feel like hitting women all the time, Carl?
That's not really my thing.
Yeah, but is that a pent up thing that really like meant, like, do you hear that from me? Like, I wish I could just hit her and blah, blah, blah. Like, is that a thing? Because I felt like that was the majority. Like, they just like, hey, I want to kill this bitch.
Well, this world was supposed to be set up to explore the dysfunctional fantasies of some. Our cop has the biggest problem with this city / amusement park being on his backyard because it brings the worst of humanity to this fantasy world. So we're not going to say that this is an environment that is inviting the most healthy of fantasy folks.
Fair enough.
These are sort of the
folks
that are, you know, really got some issues and they need an entire city set aside for them to, quote, work out their aggressive fantasies. And so that's
But turns out, apparently, mm-hmm. which I'm not sure that we saw, they go out into the real world and harm real humans.
Well, that is Vigo / Jane's Eckert's, our bad cops. That's his problem with the city, because he believes that.
Did we ever feel that threat? Because I don't feel like I felt that threat.
We were supposed to have. We were supposed to.
He just mentioned it and threw a file on a desk, mm-hmm. and was kind of disgusted. But I never felt the danger for the rest of the city.
Yeah, I know that was supposed to be there. All right, so we want to get into this, and you want to get into the rest of the recap.
Okay, so where was I?
Okay. So you've described the fabulous city that's populated by androids and cybernetic people, and people pay big bucks to go into this city, just like a real live Grand Theft Auto. You go into the city,
absolutely,
and you just do what you want. You got cars, you got androids, the whole city is yours, and you pay to work out your vices.
Right.
You see how they did
very
that.
Clever,
yeah,
very clever.
It's subtle.
Okay.
This film's subtle. You don't get. It's not like everything is right in your face every moment of the film. So
it's very, very.
But you see. But hang on. Just to let you know
how
deep this story is, vice could also mean the police force.
Oh,
I just blew your mind there. I just blew your mind. Vice is the cop and. It's the moral thing, you see. That's,
wow, Carl. That's... Wow. Wow. You're a genius.
I have to spell this out because the movie is very subtle.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get everything that happens in this film because...
Okay, so apparently also in this world, people are allowed to shoot the androids and they can do what they want. And the androids are apparently easy to be fixed, that they're fixed easily, rather. And they wiped their mind with a silver bracelet on their wrist every night.
The bracelet is just to stop them or to cause whatever. They have to go in the big machine with the headdress thing to get the memory wipe the guy was doing back at the shop. So I think that is just to track them.
Oh, it was a tracker bracelet.
Yeah, it's tracking and, it was something else it was supposed to be doing, but I think it was just for tracking purposes.
Okay, so the thing is that they kind of are on Groundhog's Day, the androids, because they live the same day every day, but they don't remember it.
Right.
So they just do the same thing.
They're just props for the people that are coming into their world. So why would they need background stories or, interesting? They just have to do what people do as background folks in a city so that the fantasy folks can come in and just, use them or do whatever they want. So.
Right, which is apparently abusing women.
That seems to be very popular. Well, bank robbery as well. Don't forget bank robbery.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So Thomas Jane Viggo
Eckert
mm-hmm. Goes into the world. He got one guy. He's not supposed to be there. He's not supposed to be poking around.
Because that's how he shows us that he's the bad guy. He don't care about no rules. You see, he's that kind of cop. So he busts into the Vice Disney world to get a man in there who's raped and abused a woman in the real world. But because this fantasy world is run by a very powerful multi-billionaire,
Bruce Willis,
his world is supposed to be a what do you want to call it, a political sanctuary, diplomatic immunity, whatever. When you're in that world, laws aren't supposed to apply. So to have a scruffy, match-chewing cop busting into his fantasy world, that just can't be allowed. But this cop has to get his man. So
he has to get his man. He is anti-technology or anti this world.
He's just anti everything.
And not only that, he openly defies his captain
again,
or whatever.
Because he don't need no rules.
Now let me tell you about this captain. Biggest pushover I have ever seen, ever. He just tells him, you can't go into that. And then he's like, here's my badge, take it. Or, he was just smart mouthing his captain the whole time. And it just felt like they brought his captain in to read that one day he was cold reading off a card. Like, he just looked at a postcard, read it, memorized it, and spit out the words. He had no emotion whatsoever. It was the most horrible thing that I've ever seen.
It's like he was using the Jedi mind trick on him. He just comes in there, hey man, you can't just go into the city and do what you want. I'm gonna go into the city and do what I want. You can go into the city and do what you want. It was terrible. It was just completely emotionless. Okay, look. Because again, as fans of sci-fi, we carry multiple levels of story in our minds while we're watching things. I actually thought that the bad acting that we were seeing throughout the film was a plot device. I was like, well, maybe it's because they're androids that they act so bad, and that's part of what's supposed to be happening. So I'm waiting to see, okay, the people who are acting bad are the androids, and then we're going to see, natural people, and they're going to be acting normal. No. that was not it.
I had another theory that I hope would pan out.
Okay, what was that?
You want to hear the theory?
I'll take anything at this point.
So I thought at this point, this is going to be like Total Recall.
Yes.
And Aaron Eckhart, Thomas Jane Matchstick Maker.
Yes.
He was in the fantasy Vice the whole time.
I'll take it. That'll work too.
I thought that was going to be the thing.
But why was his excuse for acting so badly? You see, that could have worked too.
Well, he's a cop, and apparently if you're a cop, you can't have a high IQ because they won't hire you because they think you're going to get bored. So they only hire cops that have up to a certain IQ level.
In movies.
No. That's a thing. No, that does have... I read this article and I was really offended because some guy sued a police department because he had a high IQ and they didn't hire him.
All right, well, I don't know what that means, but...
Well, because they think people with high IQs are going to get bored with the cop as a profession.
Well, seems like that'd be hard to do if you're getting shot at regularly.
Well, I don't know, but I thought that was fascinating that some people discriminate against people with high IQs in the cop force.
And the police force do.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I hadn't seen that. But
yeah, it's bizarre. But anyway, so I was just saying that perhaps that's what's happening to Thomas Jane Eckhart Vigo.
Uh-huh.
And,
No. When we say that this movie is cliched, never mind the story arcs that you've seen. Honestly, every single element of this film you've seen in at least two other films. The dialogue was just...
predictable.
Predictable? That's
how I literally wrote this film.
While the movie was happening, when Kat was not curled up in a ball at the other end of the couch here, people would say things, and she would just... before they said, she'd fire off. And sometimes they said, I'd fire off. And then there was one time where the guy... and what's so bad about it? If you're going to be cliche, be quick about it, right? Okay, just fire out the crap. And don't be trying to get all dramatic with it. So the guy... what was it that he said?
It's going to hurt.
Was that
yeah, that was it, because we said it at the same time. And then...
oh, I mean, this is just a scene where he said he was like, the chair.
It was this creepy engineer. He was creepy for no reason whatsoever.
No reason at all.
He was stroking her hair. It was disgusting.
Oh my God. This is actually it.
This is the part. Or what, you gonna let people hear it?
Let's just hear it. Let's just hear it.
Okay,
here we go. Good.
I'm not gonna lie to you. This is gonna hurt like hell.
Okay. Alright, that just...
that was it. He was just like... when
I'm not gonna lie to you. And Kat and I just in unison said, this is gonna hurt.
Yeah.
And then but... it was like that with every line in the movie. Hey, tonight's my last day on this job. I can't wait to go to my vacation after this. It was... everything was something you have heard. So,
So, creepy engineer guy was creepy for no reason.
No reason.
Then we had this weird computer genius guy who was not computer genius-y at all. And then, like, she mentioned that, and then he's like, he put on glasses, and he was like, is this better? And I just didn't understand, like, why they took that tone with this film. The lead actress was beautiful, and that's it. I don't understand why... oh, at one point, the computer crazy guy said that he could upgrade her. She's like, no thanks. But then they killed the guy that, you know, brought her in, that made her self-aware and understand things about herself and all this other stuff. And so once he was dead, she went back to computer guy with Thomas Jane Eckhart Vigo. And she's like, I need an upgrade. And so he was like, yeah, I'm going to give her an upgrade. So apparently all an upgrade means is she went in the back room, put on leather, slicked back her hair, put on dark eyeliner.
It was slicking the hair back. That's the real upgrade. That's
no,
how
then
you
she
know
put on
she
the
was,
dark eyeliner, that, too. That,
well, true.
And
true.
Then so after that, she could kick the same amount of ass that she could kick before. And then she got strapped to a chair again. I didn't see the upgrade, and I was super confused about what actually the upgrade was, what happened. Like, what is an upgrade? She just comes out with more makeup?
Well...
she got upgraded to a dominatrix look?
Yeah.
I don't understand what that was.
We were supposed to have, you know, seen her being a big badass at the end of the film. Her upgrade was her ability to pick up a gun. She just picked up the gun, which we find out she can't actually use at the critical moment. And then she jumped on somebody from about 4 feet away. Remember, that was dramatic that she jumped on somebody.
I'm pretty sure she did that before she got her upgrade.
No, because she did a lot of running before, so she didn't actually
but
jump on
but she literally kicked somebody in the chest.
Yeah, yes, that's
before, and she had the same amount of strength. She... kid, creepy engineer guy across the room.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Everybody's whispering in this film for some reason because things are quiet.
Dramatic effect.
Yeah, like they all want to be Batman. And so there's a really great ID4 upload a virus to the big computer thing near the end where all the androids become... They remember all of their memories.
Let's just back up for a second because I want to get into one.
Good
one,
because I was dying.
We don't have a lot to work with this time. So, okay, as you mentioned, I guess one of the poignant moments that we're supposed to appreciate in the film is when our main android girl. The actor is Amber Childers. Is her name? The idea is, she has been rebooted and she's supposed to be starting her day again, and one of the creepy techs, something goes wrong where her memory doesn't erase. And early in the film, her coming into awareness is she's starting to remember all of the abusive experiences that she's had through her multiple reboots. When you have your memory wiped, you're not supposed to remember that and everything's fine. But of course, she starts to, like Groundhog Day, relive the day that she, and remembers that she relives it. Well, it's a traumatic experience. It's not cool. But what happens is, because of that, she starts acting a little funny and manages to break out of the city because she's just trying to get away from all of this chaos and stress. When she gets outside of the city, she encounters somebody that just seems familiar to her. Now, somebody that she had seen in the city, but it turns out that there is, now there are many creepy engineers, so you have to be specific, but this guy had actually designed her before any of this occurred. He was the engineer, and he had built her to look like his girlfriend that had died
of cancer.
So again, it's a little bit more coherent, us laying it out here, than
not
it occurs,
by much.
Than it occurs in the movie.
Oh, okay.
But in the movie, what's supposed to be happening is we're supposed to be feeling this emotional moment where the guy who built the robot happens upon the robot that he built that looked like his dead girlfriend. And it was supposed to be an emotional moment. A special emotional moment. That doesn't really happen. There are a lot. They don't kiss. There's no romantic.
No, they kind of was tender when he died.
No. There was nothing tender about that.
Well, she got pissed and wanted an upgrade.
Yeah, but that's not. I mean, the point is there was nothing between those two. The only thing that happened is she did put her hand on his face as he was bleeding out on the street, which was supposed to have been a very, but she and her girlfriend had a whole lot more, a whole lot more intimacy than those two did. Ugh. So what's happening?
But she met him and he just laid all his funky story out. If you were to, you know, wake up and tell me, hey cat, you were dead yesterday and I brought you back to life, and oh, by the way, you're a robot.
Yep. Yeah, she had,
and I'd be like, what?
She had a lot to deal with. It's true. Honestly, in the movie, that connection was the most emotional out of everybody in the story. The connection between the robot engineer guy confronting the female android that he had built, that was the most emotional thing in the whole film, and that was non-existent. Now, we get no motivations as to why our Viggo, Thomas Jane, is so grumpy. Bruce Willis, when you talk about phoning it in, I mean, listen, this isn't even about his acting ability. He simply had nothing to do in this. There was no that. Whenever you see, like in the Truman Story, the Truman Show, there's this one guy that runs everything, and he's the puppet master, right? Okay, the puppet master. That's a real role, again, we've seen before. But there's got to be something going on. Bruce Willis is this guy, and he just sits back, and he goes, "We must get them. capture them.
Or reboot the grid.
Reboot
or,
the grid.
This section
What's
of
happening
the grid?
In Sector 5? Because yeah. In movies, something's always happening in Sector 5. Just like, I mean, they couldn't even make it a new sector in this people. People, Sector 5, if they call Sector 5 in the movies, you know something's going down. All right, so of course something went wrong in Sector 5 in Vice. It's just ridiculous. Oh, we're not joking. It was actually Sector 5, people. So, there are these hints at spelled
oh
out,
God.
Told to you emotional moments like, okay, Bruce Willis bought the company that the android designer used to work for and stole his cyborg girlfriend, or excuse me, android girlfriend.
Oh,
android
my God.
Girlfriend. So, I mean, you see how the story is coming together at complex layers? No, this no.
How did Bruce Willis get involved
well,
with
they,
this
You
man.
Know, he probably co-produced it or, you know, put some money in it.
I think we need to confirm that because I feel like, is he hurting for work? I don't think that he's hurting for work. Like, that's Bruce Willis, right? So... I don't know what's happening. It was directed poorly. Like, it was a compelling, had the potential to be a compelling story, but it was extremely mishandled because the pacing was really slow. They had slow pieces in it that didn't have anything to do with the story.
The whole thing was slow. The slow pieces. Everything that could have been, the lines that were delivered were unnecessarily slow. The action sequences were $8 and not well executed. Shaky cam. I mean, it was just everything that could have gone poorly. This is kind of like something you would expect to see on the Sci-Fi Channel, like a Sci-Fi Channel movie, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But it was something worse about it.
It was directed poorly. The pacing of the shots, the
yeah,
way they went
yeah.
from shot to shot.
Yep.
Every time I felt a shot, it was just a tad too long. And the movie's an hour and a half,
and it felt like 2.5 hours.
Right,
it
like,
really felt
it was
like
an
a two
hour
and a half.
In, or 45 minutes in. I was like, Carl, is this almost over?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
it's not.
No. When it comes to the dialogue, never mind the fact that it was cliched. Never mind the fact that it was not so well delivered. You can feel how bad it is because there are extra words. All right? There's something simple. Hey, you go to the car. I'll wait for you here. Okay. I'm going to go to the car now. See you, friend. I mean, it's just it's just unnecessary crap just tacked on to the end. And you're like, that was solely unnecessary. Why do you remember the cookie scene? Remember the cookie?
Why did they even need the cookie scene?
I mean, it's just, they're just, it's unnecessary.
It
so
was
funny.
Hilarious because I felt like that was the most warmth the character had ever saw. It was just kind of, it was fun. That was actually funny. That was legitimately funny.
And so what we're talking
but
about is
it added on to
nothing.
The length of the film that did not help.
There's simply a scene in here where the cops are talking amongst themselves and one cop gets up to leave the table and he leaves and she leaves Vigo and the captain. The captain and Vigo are ready to get back to talking, and Vigo's like, oh, you left your cookie here. Would you like your cookie back? And she goes, yes, I didn't realize I left my cookie. And then there's this camera angle where you see...
Just her hand.
Her hand and the cookie go up, and the hand grabs the cookie, and then she says... What'd she say?
I got my cookie. Thank you for my cookie, or something like
then,
that.
Thanks for the cookie. And... Why did we... I mean, they wrapped the shot where the camera actually zoomed in on the cookie and the hand exchange and then the words, thanks for my cookie. And what is going on here? Is this an action film or what?
This was terrible. I cannot
believe. So
it didn't look cheap either.
Well,
it didn't look like it was that cheap.
Here's the thing. When they only have a couple of dollars, here's an example of why it was cheap. There's a scene where she's trying to get away. and the bad guys are shooting at her. Now, okay, this is my trained eye, but when our characters in movies are running away, there are the explosive devices that they have around you to indicate gunfire has occurred. All right? So they're the little spark things, or if you're really bad, they're the big explosion things, like when a grenade goes off near you. She's running away from the vice town or whatever, and the lamest security guards known to man are firing at her, trying to get away. They shoot like 9 times. We only see 2 little bullet sparks next to her as she's running away. But the thing is, when you shoot the grenade, that's going to make a big explosion, right? She's running across this promenade, and there is a fountain, a water, like a big fountain there.
Oh, my God.
And one of the security guys pulls out a grenade launcher, right? Well, why he had a grenade launcher, I don't know.
Why didn't he use it from the start?
There are only 2 security guards right now, and they're hanging out on the balcony. One of them shooting his gun 20 times where you only see 2 sparking bullets around her because, you know, them things expensive. And then he goes, well, let me... And he pulls out his grenade launcher. Now, the shot is wide as all day. There is a street, sidewalk, there's all of this stuff. So when he fires the grenade launcher, where would have been the cheapest place to have a detonation that doesn't cause any damage to the background, that doesn't cause any trouble with what's around, and would minimize the damage of fire? The grenade goes off in the fountain. In the water, in the fountain. Where you can very easily have... It's stuff like that. When you're watching, there's the shaky cam with the escape. There's only 1 of every 3 bullets is, you know, explodes around the village. It's just one thing after... You keep looking at it, you're like, this is just cheap. This is cheap. And you can... You can make up for cheap stuff like that with story, with likable characters, with stuff that's meaningful, with an innovative story.
With great editing.
With a decent editing.
Editing was decent terrible. Editing.
But no, if you're going to do a shot like that, don't film it so wide that I could see all the places that the bullets aren't going off because you can't afford it, and then see him lining up the water fountain so we know, okay, explosion in the water fountain. Bloosh! Wow! That's just so many ways that you can be...
Yeah, my God. This was bad.
It was rough.
I feel like with a different editing job,
yes,
that this could be decent.
Yes.
If shorter and cut differently.
Your cutting helped.
But my God, it was just so long.
Yeah.
So long. Yeah. And I don't understand what Bruce Willis got. Like, did he take most of the budget?
I'm not sure. We really are trying to figure out, you know, what was this movie? If it was straight to video, which maybe it appears to be, okay, you know.
Well, have you figured it out yet?
No, I can't figure it out. There is shockingly little about this movie. They're not on Box Office Mojo. There's nothing. Now, we can go to Rotten Tomatoes to see what the comments were about Rotten Tomatoes.
This has a 0%.
0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my God.
So
yeah.
There's really not a lot I can work with here. Oh, but look, 15% of the audience liked it.
Oh.
So
yeah, somebody thought that's somebody's mom.
I'm thinking that's Bruce. Bruce logged in and he
oh my God.
2.3 out of 10.
So what was the end? I can't even remember because...
Yeah, okay. So what? Here's now, us describing it is going to be way more exciting than it actually occurs. I'm just letting you
know.
Did
somebody watch Branded because we like went on about it and I cried.
And we told them not to watch it.
And then they watched it anyway.
And then they watched it anyway. And then they got mad at us.
Like, we haven't heard from that person. I think they killed themselves.
Look,
I was ready to die tonight.
This is a public service. We are warning you. There really isn't a lot redeeming. You know, we watch some crazy stuff, and sometimes there'd be an element of it, even if it's not a great movie, that we can go, this was kind of new, or this was kind of funny, or this was kind of cool. There was nothing in Vice. Nothing in Vice.
You know what I kept doing throughout the whole time?
We even saw Surrogates. It had the same lighting. It even had Bruce Willis. We've seen Bruce Willis in the androids. if you're going to do that, you're not going to bring us anything. Nothing new. Nothing.
Nothing. No. I kept giving Carl a side eye throughout the whole time. I just kept looking at him with the look of death because I just could not believe that, like, we had a choice. Watch Unbreakable again because we're going to podcast that, or watch Vice first. And Carl, let's watch Vice. And then so I
you see why now? Do you see why now? I was trying to rip the Band-Aid off. I mean, really?
That's some ripping, boy.
That's what was happening here. That's exactly why I picked this first. I didn't know it was going to be this bad.
This was like a really bad episode. I said it was a terrible episode of Almost Human, but that's an insult to Almost
Human.
That
is a real insult. Because here's the other thing.
They had a car like Almost Human.
Here's the other thing. When you're portraying the future in sci-fi films...
here we go.
There is a certain level of investment that you need to make the world believable. Watching this film... I mean, first of all, he's got an iPhone. Looks like he's got an iPad strapped to the hood of his police car. Nothing looks like the future in this film. I mean, just think about it. Every single element that we saw, he's got a big old, like a, when they break into the computer facility. Never mind the fact we got 1920s IBM mainframes in the background. Dude. The computers that they're using, the screens, that's a straight up Samsung monitor right there.
It was like a Dell monitor. I've seen
it. It actually said Dell on the back. If you're trying to make the future, give me one thing that looks like one thing that takes
the
me
thing
out.
That looked like the future was in the credits.
The opening
credits.
And technically those were Terminator 2 credits. So, you know, that's 1992 future is what they pulled. Nothing. There's nothing. No piece of technology. No gadget. Nothing that we saw in this that sets it out as a future. Now, we can assume they're trying to do an alternate now. But come on. Give me one thing. Even the androids. We don't see one moment where there is a birth of an android or an arm that's being reassembled.
No, we saw parts, remember? She was messing with the parts in Computer Genius's room, or the creepy husband engineer. Remember? She was playing with the machine.
But did it look like something from the future, or did it look like they just broke into a Pep Boys? Do you remember something?
No, it looked like in a skeleton inside of her hand or something. I don't know. It was fine.
But that's
it's
not,
fine.
That
but that
not,
was yeah. like the only thing that I was like. But we've seen it on Terminator, you know, because we've seen it before. But this is the first turd of the year.
Oh yeah, hands down. Look, because it wasn't in the theater. I gotta assume, you know, straight to video, it had no budget or whatever, and so I'm not gonna be as hard on it as if I had paid to see this in the theater.
I have fury upon exit. I'm leaving your house right now.
But look, I'm just saying this. It's got a slightly different scale that, you know, that we do, but it's not good, folks. It really is. What's with the camera work in this thing? You see, I mean the weird.
I'm shutting you down because I offered Carl to do
we
nobody watched
that. That's on there, but you gotta admit, Red ain't nothing like that movie. Ain't nothing like that mess. Serious. So,
Puny.
That's what it looked like on mine before.
Hello. Hi. Oh, so we kind of have to like lean in.
We don't have to lean in. We just have to enunciate.
You know I don't do that.
Okay.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. Are you ready, Carl?
Now, are you comfortable? Because, you know, if you get that sofa action going on, you're going to...
We're
going
to have sofa
pick,
action?
It's going to pick it up. It's going to pick it up right here on the mic, so...
We're going to have sofa action?
No, I'm cool. I'm chill. You see?
I'm going to have my own sofa action.
Here we go. She can't handle the sofa. She can't handle the sofa.
This is where Carl is sleeping tonight.
Oh, so sad.
Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. The answer to that is always. Who's ready? Always. That's Sarah D. Jane. Okay. All right.
End of line.